For many of you in the audience, you know ARC linkages. They're the Australian Research Council. Linkages are specifically partnerships between academics and, quote, industry, quite widely defined. And this project, as you can see from all of the logos, is a partnership between many different interests. And the project started out about 5 years ago, where we were interested, actually John Smithies and I were interested in thinking about the fact that, well, young people are using ICTs. Increasingly, young people with refugee backgrounds are settling across the globe. So we have these transnational networks. Many young people are experiencing similar kinds of challenges and successes with settlement. And is there any way we could investigate whether ICTs and communication can help young people settle, you know, in a better way? So that's what this project is about. Now, what Raylene and I are going to do today is talk a little bit briefly, erase some questions from the kinds of ICT media that the young people have produced. The project, on the one hand, is working with young people, and currently we're working with Korean young people. And they are then producing, through ICT, and we'll talk a bit about what they're doing, products that they're using to actually communicate, and a question about for who, how, and why. We are going to show three little bits of what has been produced over the last 2.5 years, really 2 years. And we want to then raise some questions about, well, where's home? What spaces are young people appropriating or not? What images are they creating of themselves and others? And what are they doing both within the gaze of the settlement research regime and outside of that?
Okay, so in terms of what Homelands the project is, it's based on one question, really, quite a simple question. Would young people from refugee backgrounds have more positive settlement experiences if we encourage them to use ICTs to regularly communicate and connect with people at home, however that might be defined by them? Now, in terms of framing this quite simple question, the way we approached it was to base it on two bodies of literature. So it comes out of two areas of literature in sociology and anthropology. And one of these is the literature on transnationalism, the growing interconnections between migrant people and their homelands or other places of settlement that they might have been living in between leaving their place of birth and arriving in the place where they're living now. And there's an emerging body of knowledge in the transnationalism literature that suggests that maintaining connections to home or to other places can actually be the source of positive identity making, positive settlement, particularly for young people under certain conditions. I mean, there are some conditions in which this transnationalism is not necessarily such a positive feature. And forced return, for example, might be one example of that. But there are other contexts in which transnationalism can provide opportunities for people to develop identities that go beyond localized identities in settlement countries that might otherwise be marginalizing or alienating. The other body of literature that supports this project is the literature on the role of media production and creative multimedia production in terms of giving young people a voice, in terms of giving them a scope for their creativity and a place, a safe place for exploring identities, exploring the world around them. And this is certainly a much stronger body of literature in terms of illustrating some of the positives that might come out for young people if they're given opportunities to produce multimedia materials in a structured and sometimes a non-structured environment. So in terms of thinking about where we wanted to take this project, we did have to think carefully about some of the critical questions that might be raised in relation to our project. Like, why are we focusing on young people? And why ICTs? And where and what is home? That should say where and what is home. And these, I find these three concepts of youth, ICTs, and home really interesting ones to work with because they all have positive connotations. You know, young people are the people who are full of hope and potential and opportunity. ICTs are seen as the potential death of distance, death of the tyranny of distance, which is particularly significant in the Australian context. And the notion of home is seen as a space of belonging, a space of safety, a space from which you can then venture out into the world. So it's your private, intimate place of being. So these are concepts that we're trying to understand through this project, even as we're applying them as the foundations for the project. But we also have other questions that we need to think about. And one is, well, what is positive settlement? And how do we approach this concept as researchers? Do we look at it in terms of what the young people themselves are saying? What do they see as being positive settlement? Are we perceiving positive settlement from the perspective of the host society? Is it positive settlement as long as, you know, the broader host society doesn't see that group as a problem? Or is positive settlement something that we as researchers need to set up a measure for, and it's then measured against the measure that we establish? And these are all questions that we continue to grapple with. And finally, another question that emerges out of this project is, why focus on regular communication? And this actually becomes significant if we go back to those two bodies of literature on transnationalism and multimedia production. Because in the cultural development model, multimedia production is only going to get better through practice and through regular engagement with the skills of multimedia production. So from that perspective, we really wanted to have regularity of communication in this project to make sure that there was an opportunity for that development of skills. But from the transnationalism literature, we also see that the regular and ongoing communication is how those long-lasting social networks are built up that might possibly contribute to more positive settlement experiences.
So, what did we do? What's the project? In a minute, we're going to show you three little clips from what has been produced thus far. Two of them within the Homelands Project, and one quite outside the Homelands Project, but by one of the participants. And I'll explain this a little bit. So Homelands has two components. One is the program component, and that's actually our partners and project officers, cultural development people working with Korean young people to produce ICTs. We left that quite open, what that was. And then there's the research component, and that's myself, Raylene, two PhD students, Zoe and Anthony, and a project officer, Marina, who are actually researching that, using a whole mix of skills, including ethnography, field notes, and interviews. So when the project, or the program, started, we'll look just here under 2009 and 2010. The way Raylene and I are looking at it is that it really focused on working with young people to produce pictures using flip cameras, video, putting together a video and a Skype, and building up their skills through a whole series of fairly structured workshops, and launching that at the Festival of Lights in Melbourne. And that was launched in 2010. And that was quite structured, quite scripted, well-resourced, fairly formal. It was product-driven. And a big question we have, because we're still analyzing and thinking about it, is the audience really was for the Korean, for their networks back in Maysot, the refugee camp, and also for non-Korean, for a wider audience, with a real focus on that launch. Now, the second clip that we're going to be looking at is a result of what's happening right now in 2010 and 11. And it's focusing on the production of ITV. And we'll see a little bit from the first episode of the ITV. And that is less structured. There was less scripting with the project officers, less resourced, semi-formal, the young people sort of came and went from it. It was also product-driven, but the audience is a local audience, perhaps a transnational one, but we think at this time a fairly local one of Korean youth. Then we're going to see about 3 minutes of a clip that is on YouTube, And it was done by one of the participants, but had nothing to, really was quite outside of Homelands. And when the participant actually wanted, was asked, do you want to put this into Homelands, there was a decision not to. Now, that was not structured, there was no script, there were no resources, it was informal. Big question about, well, was it product driven? And a really interesting question about, well, who's the audience? We think it's youth, Korean and non-Korean, and it brings up a big question about the spaces and the audiencing that young people are appropriating. So what we're going to do now is go ahead and show each of these clips in that sequence, but if you can just remember this, you know, the way that we're sort of categorizing them.
We'll be testing you on it later. Okay, so the first one we want to show you, it comes from that very formal production environment. It was officially launched at the Gift of Light Festival at Federation Square to an open audience of any passers-by, as well as people who have been attracted by flyers and through the program. And now let me just see. Correct.
They're each about 3 minutes, so we're looking at about 9 minutes all up.
Okay, so this is a 3 minute clip, and we're actually showing it to you how it appears on the Homelands website. So homelands.net.au is the website that was set up for these young people to post these videos. And let me just make sure that I've got the volume back up, because the songs that they produce are actually quite significant. In consultation with some young people over at Maesok Camp who were participating in the Homelands program at the time. So they were, the young people at Maesok were given a list of possible storylines that might be produced, and they were very insistent it has to be the love story. So that's why we call that one the love story. Now this second one, which has been produced much more recently, has been finalised much more recently, is the first ITV program that was produced by the young people. Now it goes, in total it goes for about 24 minutes. I'm not going to be screening the full 24 minutes. It's broken up in three parts on YouTube, and I'm just going to show, give you a little taste of the first 9 minutes of this one, which is basically an assembly of some of the material that the young people have been producing with the support of the project officer.
So, welcome to Create TV Show. We're here. We're here from Werribee and Ringwood, and I'm going to tell you about the fishing. Wait, fishing's not part of it, but we're going to tell you about cooking and how to play sport and music. Yeah, and it's our first episode, and I'm going to hand it over to Lakapo.
Ini ni weda langko, lai ni weda homle ane wakudeng ama. Tahanya ini nama le lelau utara jack lema halap homle creative show ni mana. Ikan ni bila le tiba weda awak suina, awak paw weda, kau weda nyaku di le pegi le dapat kuat ko. Ni bila ni potong tak kila nolong besi ko ane.
Anyway, you've got a sense of that little piece, so let's see if we can catch up a bit further down. Ah, here we go. Play?
Guess me. What's up? What are you doing? After cleaning the fish, you cut it like this on the fish, so that after, when you marinate it, all the
seasoning,
the meat. Now for the seasoning, you need about one spoon, not one, just like a little bit of tamarind, the yaw, and salt, just depending how much you want salt. And I know this is bad for you, but it tastes good. Now mix them all together. It becomes like a almost like a paste.
And I know you're wondering how the fish ends up turning out, so I'll take you up to the cooked fish.
But it's not ready yet.
They're talking to each other.
It will catch up. But one of the things to note in throughout this whole ITV program is the dual language use, so Karen language and English speaking, which speaks to the audience that they're communicating with. Come on, internet. Who says we need a national broadband network? Okay. Okay, so we might have to leave the rest of that one, although the last bit I would actually like to show you.
Should be able to play it.
You can be patient.
Play it again.
Does it?
Go back. Okay. Got it. No, that's not. Oh, Karen TV part one?
Yeah,
and then
the red bar.
That one? This actually shows you the third bit of the clip that I wanted to show you, so thanks for that.
Thank you.
you a sense of the diversity of the pieces that, that they put into this first episode of Karen TV. Now let's come back here. And then finally, this last piece is the one that we're showing you, which was produced by a participant in Homelands, in the Homelands program, but wasn't chosen for inclusion as part of the Homelands product. So it was decided by the young people that it wasn't appropriate, including the producer himself, which raises interesting questions about why. It's actually the laptop now that sees stuff. I'm not sure it's the internet we've got a problem with anymore. No, Skype isn't working. One of the potential problems with doing ICT projects is that ICTs don't always work the way you want them to. Okay, so we might have to come back to that one. I don't know what we can do if it's all seized up. Try connecting one more time. Did it have did it have the name at the top? Sorry. We've got, yes, super. Explore. The first one being, well, why are young people creating and circulating audiovisual products on the internet? What is it that's motivating them? And certainly in terms of this question in relation to the project more specifically. Why are they interested in the Homelands program? Why did they volunteer to come along and participate on Saturday after Saturday after Saturday of their own time to take part in this project? Some of them said that they were doing it in order to develop new skills or to meet new people, but it seems that there is actually a drive to produce multimedia material and to become better at it. A lot of them were actually mentioning that they wanted to develop their editing skills. That was a real focus for a lot of the participants, which suggests that they actually want to get better at something, which I think feeds in well with the cultural development model. And why do they produce for themselves? Well, I think this taps into that broader sense of multimedia and the internet as providing a new outlet, a new creative outlet and a new communicative outlet. And certainly these young people seem to be tapping into the practices of other young people in terms of taking part in a communicative practice that goes across peer groups, so they're very much connected to each other through ICTs such as Facebook and mobile phones, but also across a transnational youth context. And we see that in the clips on YouTube being linked up with each other and showing themes and threads.
When we look at the three pieces too, each of those pieces we think is representing a particular script that young people are adapting. So the first is the traditional love story. I mean, it's an eternal theme throughout time. It's a safe theme, but one in which young people are producing for an audience that can be understood, you know, across time, across space, and across age. The second ICTV is an interesting one, and Raylene and I are still coming to grips well with it. On the one hand, we find it quite boring, except for maybe the last part, for us as an audience. It also has very traditional elements of TV, so there's the travelog, and then there's the cooking program, and there's Welcome to Melbourne in there. So again, it's a genre and it's a script that's one that's quite well recognized, you know, across time and space and in contemporary popular culture. The third one is also really interesting because, in fact, it is tapping into, again, not necessarily a transgressive genre, but the kinds of things that young people have always done out of the adult gaze. Again, testing out identities and who they are instead of and appropriating spaces now that might be both out of the gaze of adults, out of the community, in this case the church, but also connecting with other youth across the world. So it's not just being Corinne, it's being young. It's doing the kinds of things that young people do to test the boundaries.
And then the third question that we're exploring is, what do these clips tell us about where young people from refugee backgrounds locate themselves, both in the world and at home? And one of the things that's quite striking for us is that sense of global genres, that they are tapping into, if not global, then certainly Western genres of multimedia production, which, I mean, on the one hand, I find that a little depressing. It sort of suggests a flattening of diversity and difference. It suggests that there may not be such unique, you know, Karen-voiced multimedia products coming out. But on the other hand, it may also be interpreted as an indicator that they are actually capable of tapping into streams of knowledge and frameworks of product that shows that they are navigating their way into a sense of belonging in that global context. So regardless of whether they feel at home in Australia or not, they can actually feel at home in a global, transnational, youth subculture context that they feel comfortable about producing for and consuming from. And yet at the same time as there is this sense of the global and the transnational, we can also see that they're putting their own localized, ethnicized interpretations on that, which I think is evident not least through the fact that they do call themselves Karen. They continue to use that term. They continue to use language in these materials. And not just Karen and Karen language, but also placing themselves in Melbourne. So there's, you know, little descriptors saying that they are the Melbourne Karen in a lot of these clips. So we're finding that really interesting, that relationship between the local and the global, between the local and the transnational.
And we just
wanted to wrap it up probably with a whole bunch of questions. The two clips on the, on your right are from Homelands, and the other again is what you get when you start networking off of the YouTube clips around the world. And it just brings up a whole bunch of issues around how do ICTs help young people settle in, and where are they settling? Into a transnational world with connections and identities that are no longer, as we know, geographically bound in any one space. And I think it raises lots of questions for practice with young people. In place, but also connected across the world and in space. So I think we have more questions than we have findings.
Thank you.
Thank you. I should say we'll be working with the second group now for the second part of the project, but we don't know who and we don't know how.